Bibles this morning and open them to the book of James as we continue our study through this book. Just as a little bit of a recap, we started out in the first chapter testing faith, then trusting faith, then looking at the tempting of our faith. A couple of weeks ago we looked at a grounding faith and our living faith last week. And today we're starting in chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, about talking faith. See, faith, if you truly have faith, it covers every part of your being. It covers everything you do and everything you say. And so with that in mind, James makes these statements by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that ought to speak to all of our hearts this morning, beginning in verse 1. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. We put bits in the mouths of horses to make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they're so large and are driven by strong winds, they're steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Father, I thank you for this word because it's apropos for every single person, as your word is. And it specifically speaks to us today about the way we speak. I think many times we speak before we think. We quickly respond. We quickly say things that have no bearing to what needs to be said because we're not listening to you. Father, I pray, as one wise man told me a long time ago as a teenager, he said, just remember the bottom of your tongue is connected to the top of your heart, and whatever's in your heart is going to come out your mouth. Lord, I pray that we will remember that, and we will listen to you, and that our heart will be full of you, and because of the overflow of our heart, our mouth will speak. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to take a look at what it talks about in the first few verses here of James chapter 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that he who teaches will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. Well, the nature of the tongue is, first of all, defining. It defines basically who we are by what we say. It's defining. Our words are a standard, literally, of where our heart is. And if you think about it, folks, if your heart's right, then your speech will be right. If your heart is in the right place, then what you say will be what God wants you to say. But the fact is that many times our hearts are not in the right place. And so because of that, we open our mouth and we stick our foot right in there. And we start saying things that we shouldn't say. The word teacher here is an example of those who should be showing the way. Literally, a teacher is a person. The Greek term is one who shows the way. Now, many of you have had teachers in your life that have shown the way for you. You've had people that maybe you even had teachers in your schools that showed you the way of how to understand mathematics or how to know the difference between chemical equations and all those kinds of things. They were people who showed the way. But for you also, there should be people in your life that have shown you the way of God's Word. Now, it's interesting that many people say that they come to know the Lord and that they're saved, But there's not been anybody who would walk alongside them and disciple them and help them along the way. When you come to know Jesus Christ, you're immediately pressed into the service of the King. And learning His Word and spending time with Him, critical. But more than that, it's not just so that you can get better, it's so that you can help other people get better. And so that God can use you all along the way. Our words are a standard where our heart is. While leading, they will also be seen for what they are by what they say. Now, we can all look at people who say one thing and do the other. You know where you see those people? In the mirror. Right? Let's be honest. I mean, if you can't be honest in church, you can't be honest. All right? A lot of times we say one thing, but then we do the other. Those who are teaching should be an example of doing what they say. But not only that, they're setting an example for us to do what we say. Everyone stumbles. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I can't think of one person ever, except Jesus, who's never stumbled. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to mess up big time. You're even going to flub up so bad sometimes that you think there is no hope any longer. Have you ever made a mistake so big that you thought it could never be covered up, never be changed, it's never going to get any better? We all have. The word here, stumble, literally means to trip or to fall. Now, when I was a little kid, that was no big deal because I'd just get right back up. Now it's a big deal. I don't know why. It just is. I don't want to trip and fall now. I used to love it. In fact, I was such a daredevil kid and such a... My favorite type of comedy was slapstick. And so I'd get in a room with a bunch of chairs and I would trip over the first one and I'd fall over about three or four before I hit the ground, you know. And I just loved doing that. Now I wouldn't even think about doing that because it hurts too bad, right? But the fact is, we all stumble. We all mess up. We all do things that we know we shouldn't have done. We all make mistakes. We all make choices to even sin. See, because when you know what to do right and you don't do it, to him it's a sin, the Scripture tells us. In fact, we'll get into that later on in chapter 4. We all make mistakes. But for those who know Christ, it should drive us to our knees in confession and repentance. We were talking a little bit about that Wednesday night as we started our study through the book of Nehemiah, and how Nehemiah, immediately knowing that the reason that the walls of Jerusalem were collapsed and in ill repair is because the people of God had taken their eyes off of him and done their own thing and had followed the other god, little g gods of this world. And Nehemiah comes in fasting and prayer and in mourning, crying out to God, saying, "Oh God, please forgive us." It should drive us to our knees. The Greek term here for perfect means mature or complete. He says if anybody is perfect, it means they're absolutely mature and complete. In fact, when you finally reach that point, it'll be in heaven. It'll be that point when you come into the presence of God and realize everything that you could not have imagined even before. Maturity in Christ is directly related to the words we speak. That's what James is saying. Listen, it's defining of us. How we say things. How we even say them. Did you know you could say something really good with your mouth, but the way you say it can be really bad? Right? I mean, this is something you can try sometime. If you have a pet, they don't understand English very much. They might have a few key catchphrase words that they pick up on. But if you say to your dog, "You're the ugliest dog I've ever seen. Boy, I wish you weren't even here." He'll laugh it up. because you're being nice and you're saying it in such a nice fashion and everything. But then you can say, you're the best dog I've ever seen. I wish you would always be with me. He's going to like cower. And why? Because it's how you say it. It has everything to do with how you use words. Maturity shows that we've come to a place and realized that the words that we speak are so vital. They're so important. If you could control your tongue at all points, I guarantee you, you could keep your whole body in check, the Scripture tells us. And it gives us a couple of examples, like the bit that's in the horse's mouth. He's a huge animal. How are you going to control this huge animal? With this little bitty bit in his mouth. Because if you pull it this way, he's going to turn his head. If you turn it this way, if you pull back on it, he's going to stop. It's just the way it is. Now, I want to know who the first person was who ever tried a bit. I never thought of that until just now. But anyway, you control the whole animal. In the same way, he says, look at these huge boats. They're blown by the wind. But this little bitty rudder makes them turn. In the same way, he says, that's our tongue. Our tongue is so powerful. In fact, the most powerful thing that God blesses us with is also the curse of this world. It's our speech. It's defining. It's also directing. James offers these two analogies to show the ability of the tongue. The horse's bit is tugged on to change the direction or slow down or so the tongue has the ability to change the direction of our lives. How many of you were changed in the direction of your life by words somebody spoke to you, whether for good or bad? Right? Countless people have been defined by the words of others. You're a loser. You're lame. You're hopeless. Or you're loved. You're blessed. You're amazing. Those simple words can make a complete change in somebody's life. He says it's like the rudder. It's the power to guide or change a direction. This analogy shows us how both are so small and yet they are so powerful. God changes the direction in our lives through His Word. And just a few small words can build up a life forever, or it can implode a relationship. That's why James says it's so critical to realize what we're saying before we say it. It's so important for us to filter every word that we speak through the Holy Spirit's filter. How many of you have ever said something and about halfway out of your mouth you wish you could have pulled it back? Right? Yeah. I'm fascinated by biology. I was a biology major in college and I always liked studying animals and zoology and all of that stuff. And we had one of the things that we did in college is to try to find out what it is that makes a frog's tongue so fast to be able to go out, grab the fly, and bring it back in before the fly even knows he's gotten. Man, I tell you what, this reflex, by the way, it's interesting, the reflex of the frog's tongue is faster than any other animal reflex. That's pretty fast. Because there are some fast reflexes in animals. But they can go, and they have a fly in their mouth before the fly even knows it's there. What does that have to do with this? Boy, sometimes I wish I could do that with my words. They get out of my mouth, and I wish I could just get them back in here because I didn't really want to say that. I didn't really mean that. I shouldn't have said that. The way I said it wasn't right. James even says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. We're often quick to speak, right? James says it's so important for us to realize that every word that we speak is defining and it's also directing. And it can also be very, very destructive. Look at what verses 5 and 6 say. It says, Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest fire is set on by such a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person. It sets the whole course of his life on fire, and itself is set on fire by hell. Now, James gets right to the point here, and he says, listen, guys, this is so important. I don't think James could have made it any more persuasive than what he's saying here. He says, listen, our tongue can be like a fire. Just one word can spread out of control. Gossip, lies, embellishment, whatever you want to call it. But when we use this tongue to say things that we know are willfully wrong or hurtful or whatever, divisive or whatever else, when we do that, we can cause more damage than any other way. And unfortunately, this links up with one who's the father of lies. How would you like to be linked up with the one who is the father of lies? Well, when we use our tongue in the wrong way, that's exactly what we're doing. The Bible says that Satan is a liar. He's always been a liar. He's the father of lies. When he speaks lies, he's speaking his native language. And it started in the beginning, right there in the garden. Eve says, we know that God has told us if we eat of this fruit, we will surely die. And what did he say? You shall not surely die. Excuse me? What he said, though, was such a poignant word that for some reason, because it looked good, Adam and Eve chose to take it. They took the bait. All of you that are fishermen understand that concept. They took the bait. It looks good. If I just lap onto that, I'll have me a good meal. What you really have is a headache with something sticking through your lip. It's a trap. It's bait. And that's exactly what Satan used it for. Just some examples. Gossip and slander. The word for gossip means whispering that is damaging. A secret attack upon one's character is slander, purposely defaming someone's character with intent to hurt. Now, that's something that we probably would never do. Gossip or slander. Oh, we can so easily be caught up into somebody else's conversation. And they're talking about so-and-so, and did you know that she did this, and they did that, and all that. And boy, we start listening. And before we know it, we're all also speaking, and we're joining in. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20 says this, without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Think about that. Think about how powerful the words of someone really are. Gossip and slander. Also, criticism and murmuring. That word murmuring is interesting, isn't it? In fact, in the Old Testament, when it talks about the people that were coming out from Egypt, that God had brought them out of slavery, out into the desert, and they began looking for food, and they didn't have any food, and the Scripture says they began to murmur. And the Hebrew word for murmur means they started griping in a way that was just murmuring. And what did God do? He says, listen, I brought you out here for a reason. I'm going to provide for you manna from heaven every single day. They wanted to go back to Egypt. At least in Egypt we had food to eat. Didn't matter that we were slaves all day long and we had to work ourselves to death. And many of us were put to death even while we were serving. Doesn't matter about that. We're out here in the desert and we don't have any food. You know why? Because God wants to be their food. God wants to be the most important thing in every person's life. But criticism and murmuring are, again, tearing down with negative intent. We learned, I think we have this inbred in us as children. We're born with this inside of us, but we hear it so much that it becomes so easy for us to do that we think if we tear somebody else down, it will build us up. And we do that with the tongue. It's hard to tear somebody else down without saying something. Have you thought of that? It's hard to be negative with somebody else if you're not saying anything. That's why James says, be slow to speak. And he makes this little analogy about the spark that can cause such a huge fire. Look at this next little slide right here. This was one of the deadliest fires ever in California history. It was caused by the spark from a hammer hitting some metal. Every single person in that frame right there of the huge fire that was there in California died in those flames by somebody hitting a hammer on a piece of metal. You see, folks, this thing that we have in our mouth is so incredibly powerful, and it can do great damage, but it can also do a lot of good if we allow someone else to be in control of this, and that's Christ our Lord. It's destructive, and it's even deadly. With just a few words, the whole course of a person's future can be crushed. I remember back in youth ministry, I had a kid who was coming to youth group. And he was so, you could tell by his countenance, he was always so down, and it seemed like nothing could ever cheer him up. And one evening I just pulled him aside and said, "Man, what's going on? How come you're so down?" And he said, "Man," he said, I don't know what to do." He said, "My family hates me. They call me loser. I don't know what to do. I can't move out. I don't have any place to go." He said, I'm really at the point where I think it'd be better off if I wasn't living. That's how deadly our speech can be. Many people have listened to the words of the evil one and taken their own life because they felt like no one cared. Nobody loves you. You're worthless. There's a true story of a young man who was going to school. He was in seventh grade. He lived in a family much like I was describing a moment ago. Nobody liked him at school. He seemed to be a loner. He didn't seem to have much hope. One day, he heard about a youth group that was meeting over at the Baptist church not far from his school there in Fort Worth, Texas. And so he decided, as a last chance shot, he would show up at youth group meeting that night. And so he did. Well, when he walked in, he immediately was met by three or four people that he knew from school who started just digging on him, cutting him down. Same things they said at school, they said there in the youth group. He stayed for as long as he could, and he finally left. The youth pastor had gotten his name and called him up that next week and says, "Man, you left early. How come?" And he was very candid with him. He says, "You know, I get, you know, torn up at school. People hate me. I thought the one place I could come, somebody might have something good to say, would be a youth group at a church." The youth pastor was so distraught about it, he invited him to come back and be his guest the next week. And he even showed up that Wednesday night, but as soon as he walked in again, the students began doing the same thing. So he left. Well, you'd be interested to know that that young man's name was Lee Harvey Oswald. And not much longer in his life, he chose to assassinate the President of the United States and then take his own life. Well, he would have taken his own life if Jack Ruby had not barged in. His life was worthless to him. It all has to do with words. Everything has to do with what we say. Not only is it deadly, it's also disloyal. For us as Christians to speak the way that it's picturing here is disloyal to the one who's given us life. This is truly a picture of a double-minded person who is tossed around by the winds of this world. If this world says you go this way, then that's the way I'm going. And if it says to go this way, then that's the way. And if the conversation is going this direction, that's the direction my conversation goes. The analogy here is so clear. He says, listen, out of your mouth comes praising and cursing. Now you might say, well, I don't curse. I'm not talking about foul language here. Cursing means tearing somebody down. Because when you tear somebody down, that's cursing them. If you praise God, you know, you come to church or you go to another event or you do whatever and you praise God and you say, God's so good and I love God so much. But then you walk out of there and you start using this very tool in your mouth to tear down other people. James says, what good is it? How is that even possible? In fact, James is even making this picture right here. If you say that you love God with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength, and then you use what's in your mouth to tear someone else down, how is that possible? That's why we looked at faith and works last week. You say you have faith. I'll show you my faith by my works. You know what he means? He means my faith is real. It's alive. I don't have to prove to God that by doing these things, I'm okay. But I do these things because I love God. Are you a double-minded person? The analogy here is clear. Praise and cursing. Fresh and salt water from the same spring. Have you ever seen that happen ever? No. Why? Because if there's any salt, it poisons the whole thing. It poisons the whole thing. In fact, there's been instances in our history of our nation where people wanted certain pieces of land and they went and salted the wells of the people that lived there so that those people couldn't raise their crops and they had to move and leave. And then they would come in later after the salt had lost its saltiness and gone out of the well. And they took over their property. I think the real picture here is this. Where's our heart in all of this? See, because the Scripture does say, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart's right, then your speech will be right. If your speech is not right, you better check your heart. You better check your heart. Well, that brings me to 1 John chapter 4, verse 20. It says this, whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever doesn't love their brother and sister whom they have seen can't love God whom they've not seen. John says it like this, listen, don't say you love God and then walk out and start cutting other people down. Why? Because the truth is not in you. Now you might be hearing all of this and saying, well, man, he's really getting honest today. No, I'm not getting on anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. The truth is that what we say is so critically important. And we see the obvious outcomes of the bad stuff. The gossip, the slander, the murmuring, the tearing down of people. We see that how awful that can be. But let me tell you something, folks. there's also a good side to this tongue right here. And this tongue can speak the name of Jesus. This tongue can speak the goodness of the glory of the Lord. This tongue can speak the Word of God to other people. This tongue can speak of the forgiveness that I've received through the blessing and the pouring out of the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross to cover my sins. But we have a choice. How are we going to use this tongue? How are we going to use this tongue? Well, he says the tongue can't be tamed. It's always going to be restless. It's always going to speak up sometimes when we don't want it to. It's going to say things you wish you could get back. But as we abide in Christ and as we continue to live in His presence, as we continue to allow the Holy Spirit to change us into the likeness of Christ, we will begin to see that God can use our tongue. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 3 says it like this. Go on. There it is. Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. And so, I've heard this statement over and over again in my life, but unfortunately it didn't always sink in. Think before you speak. Same thing James is saying. James is saying, be slow to speak. In other words, literally think about what you're going to say before you say it. And so I came up with an acrostic that I think will help us. Think before you speak. Well, the T in think is it true? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 25 through 32 says this, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, don't sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Everybody say this last part with me. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. Is it true? Is what you're about to say true? If it's not, don't say it. Is it honest? Have I expressed the truth without harming anyone? Even if it is a truth and it needs to be said, can I say it in a way that will not bring harm to someone? The H in think. Is it helpful? In that very passage we just read, Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, are my words encouraging and helpful to the situation? Does it build up? Is it helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen? Now, I don't know if you ever realize exactly what this is saying, but look at what it says exactly. It says, it's helpful for building others up according to their needs. And you think, so that's who it's benefiting. It's building them up according to their needs. Yes, it is. But it also goes on to say that it may benefit those who are listening. You know what that means? My words are so powerful that even though I'm saying it specifically to you, somebody else is hearing it and it's registering in their mind as well. That's how powerful words are. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? The same passage, Ephesians 4, verse 26. Go to that next one if you will. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Listen, folks, I think all of us understand how terrible we can be when we're angry. Now, there's a difference between just being angry and a righteous anger. I understand that. But most of us don't dwell in righteous anger. We just dwell in anger. It's one of those emotions that just erupt And we say things we wish we'd never said, and we can be so harmful with our words. And so, if I think, I'm going to say, is it inspiring somebody instead of tearing them down? Am I being motivated by Christ or by my own frustrations? Is what I'm saying motivated by Christ? Or is it being motivated by me and my own frustrations? The end of think. Is it necessary? Ephesians 4:31. Can I express myself without saying hurtful things in frustration? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, and brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, how do you do that? Well, I once heard a pastor preaching a message on this very passage, and he says, what we need to do is dress like Christians. And I thought, what do you mean? I got to wear a suit and tie all the time? You know, because when I grew up, that's all I ever saw when we went to church, is all the men wore suits and ties and all the ladies wore nice dresses. Is that how you dress like a Christian? No. I mean, it's okay to wear those things. I don't have a problem with that. But that's not dressing like a Christian. Dressing like a Christian is putting on the mind of Christ and getting rid of what's there. Taking off. In fact, in the passage right before this in chapter 4, it says, throw off all those things that so easily entangle you. Get rid of the stuff in your life that will harm and hurt you. And so we have to be able to ask ourselves the question, can I express myself without saying a hurtful thing out of my own frustration? The last is K. Is what I'm going to say kind? Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. You see, when Jesus looks at you and when He looks at me through the blood that was shed for us on the cross by Christ Himself, you know what He sees? He sees me as perfect and whole and pure and clean and acceptable. He sees me through the blood. He sees me. And because of that, I can feel His gentleness and kindness in my life and His compassion and loving kindness to me. And I know that He cares and loves me. So here's the application for today's word coming out of this chapter in James. If the tongue is the bucket that dips into the well of the heart, then the best way to diffuse the tongue is to keep the contents of the well pure. Does that make sense? If your heart's pure, your words will be pure. No matter how many times you change the bucket, if the contents don't change, if they're dirty, then the buckets will only deliver dirty water, even if they're a clean bucket. So we've got to clean our heart. How do we do that? The Scripture says we got to do it with constant confession, being in God's presence, living and abiding in Him. And He specifically says this in 1 John 1:9, if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to not only forgive our sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You want God to be Lord in every part of your life? The most important thing is to give Him your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. If your heart's right, then your words will be right. You're only going to bring up out of the well of your heart, through your words, what's there. Let's make sure our hearts are right with God. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, this word speaks so apropos to all of us, but Lord, I thought You were just speaking to me this week as I was going through this, because there are many times that I open my mouth and I begin speaking and my heart's not right. And more often than not, when I do that, my words are damaging and they're hurtful and they're not good and they're not pleasing and they're not what You want. It's because for whatever reason, I've chosen at that point not to be in your presence, not to abide in you, not to live in your presence, allowing you to fill my mind and heart with the good and noble and things that are good and pure and praiseworthy. We should be thinking on those things your scripture tells us. Lord, I pray that you'll speak this word to all of our hearts today, because we all need it. Because we all speak. We all talk. We all share. We all say things. And we're all tempted to say what's in our heart. And so, Lord, I pray for a cleansing of hearts today, including my own. That, Lord, it'll be because you are Lord. You are Lord of my mind. You are Lord of my heart. You are Lord of my speech. And that everything I say and do would bring you honor, would bring you glory. And that, Lord, people would be benefited by your words coming through my lips, rather than words that I speak out of my own heart that have no cause to help you, but to do what I want them to do. Lord, confession needs to be made in all of our lives, that we so easily have taken words and done things with them that have been so hurtful, have been so damaging. And yet, Father, there's many ways that you use our words by your Holy Spirit to build up the body of Christ, to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus, to allow them to understand that you have a purpose and a plan for them, to remind them that you will never leave us or forsake us, to understand, Father, how good and gracious you are, that you have removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And I could go on and on and on saying how great and awesome you are. And that's what we should be doing. Because when we bring attention to you and when we lift up Jesus, he said, I will draw all men unto me. And Lord, that's what we ought to do with our words. We ought to lift up Jesus and bring glory to God so that people will be drawn to you and not to us. Lord, help us to rid ourselves of the filth of this world, of our selfishness, of our own desires that make us say things that we shouldn't say. Help us, Lord, to be slow to speak, quick to listen. Help us, Father. Help us. You might be here this morning and maybe this doesn't really make sense to you because you've not yet trusted Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. My encouragement to you is this. If you would give your heart to Jesus, if you would say, Lord, I need you in my life. I need the forgiveness of my sins that was bought for me by the precious blood of Jesus on the cross. I need you to be my Lord, be my boss. I want to serve you and not this world any longer. I don't want to serve myself any longer. I don't want to serve what this world says is important. I want to serve you, Lord. Then you can simply pray and tell him that. Say, dear Lord, I thank you for saving me, for forgiving me of my sins by the blood that was shed on the cross, for changing me from the inside out. I give you my life right now. I choose to follow you. And from this day forward, I want to serve you. I turn away from my old ways. And I turn to you. If that's a prayer that you mean and you'll pray it, then God will hear your prayer. According to His word, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Maybe you've been a Christian for years and years and years, but you still are having a battle with your tongue. And I can just tell you this, according to God's word, it's not a battle with the tongue, it's a battle with the heart. And you need to make sure that Jesus is Lord of your life. The Scripture tells us, if any person's in Christ, they become a new creature. The old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. If those old things have not passed away, it might be because you've only made a physical step towards God, but you're still holding on to your own heart. If God's speaking to you this morning, I pray that you will listen to Him and that you will obey what He's saying. We're going to have a time of invitation. Maybe you're looking for a church home and you feel like this is the place that God has led you to be. We'd love to have you, but just know this, we're not looking for just a bunch of names to put on a church roll. We're looking for people who love Jesus and want to tell people about Jesus and help us build the kingdom of God one person at a time. Whatever it is that God's speaking to your heart this morning, we're going to stand and sing this hymn of invitation. You know it, Just As I Am. And as we begin to sing it, if God has spoken to your heart, I'll be here at the front to meet you. If you'd like to come, let's stand, let's begin to sing. Just as